Accession number 2007, reel 1.
Jimmy Kelly, reel 1. Jimmy, could you tell me where and when you were born, please?
I was born in Bray, County Wicklow, on the 13th of May, 1920. I went to local schools there. I finished up in the technical college there. And on the 2nd of February, 1940, I went up to Belfast and enlisted in the English Army.
Can I ask you what your parents did for a living?
My father was a mechanic. And my mother owned property, and that's in Bray. We had a cafe that was rented out to the Italians right next to Brayhead Hotel, Strand Road, Bray, Brayhead Cottage. She rented that out for years to the Italians. They used to make ice cream, and it's a seaside resort, Bray. It's about 12 miles south of Dublin. And crowds there from Easter till September every year. That place would be packed, just like Whitley Bay is here in Newcastle area. I went up, as I say, I joined the 2nd of February 1940, and I'd done my training, basic training with the Enniskillen Fusiliers.
What were your reasons for joining up?
Well, there was no work. There was no work in Southern Ireland. And I started off as a painter and decorator. And I was working with the Home Colonial for a while as a messenger boy. And I worked with the uncle, as I say, a painter and decorator, but things were pretty rough. And I lost my father when I was 13, and I lost my mother when I was 16. And my sister brought six of us up. She was only young herself, but she brought six of us up in Bray in the property, and things got a bit rough there, out of hand and that, and I decided to join up then. But I'd done maybe a year and a half with the Home Colonial as a messenger boy and a counter hand. We went, as I say, then I went up and I joined up in Northern Ireland.
Where did you join up?
Oma, a place called Oma in Northern Ireland, and we were in the barracks there. Well, we were in the workhouse when we first went up there, and the first experience of the English Army was that I was put in the workhouse, and there was about, 40 in the one dormitory. I got up the next morning, and you were in old troughs, washing in cold water. 2nd of February, it was pretty cold. And as I say, we'd done our basic training there, and we went from there up to, I don't know how long I stayed there, about 2 months, 2 or 3 months, and then I was transferred to over here to England.
Can you tell me a little bit about the basic training?
The basic training was, 6 weeks of drill, rifle instruction, Up in the morning, wash, shaved, breakfast. Then you done basic training as on the square, left and right, and all this carry on. And then you learned all about the 303, the rifle. Then you went on to the Bren gun and all like that. But the basic training itself, I think, was very, very. Not very hard to me. Well, it wasn't. It didn't seem hard to me. I was a young fella at the time. And we'd done a lot of route marching, 10, 12 miles, after you got broke in. And the equipment was very scarce at that time. People coming back from the Europe and that, wounded, not from the war. And as I say, when Dunkirk fell, then we come over, I was sent over to England, and I went down to Dovercourt.
With the basic training, how did you take to the drill?
Quite hard. It was quite hard at first. Admitted, I was in with a lot of conscriptions, A lot of conscripts had been called up, and a lot of them was from over in England, had been sent over to Ireland for their basic training. And there was just young chaps really training us there. I think a lot of them were TAs, territorials, because most of the regulars was out in France and that. But
did you take to the rifle training and the brain gun training easily?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Of course, if you've got good instructors, you're all right. Fellas that knew what they were doing. At first, there were no rifles. But eventually, we got the rifles. Oh, what, about 5 or 6 weeks after we got in, we got rifles and all like that. But you'd done, what, maybe 5 hours, four and a half hours a day, really. Route marching, getting lectures on different things, how to act and all like that, and how to behave yourself. And your money was 10 shillings a week. By some mix-up, I was told I was married, so I only got 3 and 6 a week. But they sorted that out in the long run. But it everything to do with that 3 and 6. If you wanted a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, shoe polish, everything had to be brought out of that 3 and 6 months, which is quite a lot of money them days, I suppose.
Did you do any other types of training during the basic training, like gas training or...?
No. There's very little of that done until I come over to England, actually. Most of it was just preparing you for the basic outcome of anything that could happen as a guard involved with the enemy or anything like that. Rifle range there, you'd done 1 to 600 yards, 100 yards to 600 on the rifle range. And when after about a month you were there, then you were there once a week. You were talking about grenades, hand grenades, and all the equipment to do with a rifleman.
Did you, with the rifle training?
Yes.
Can you take me through how they instructed you to use the rifle?
First you got the feel of the rifle, the 303. Then you were taught all the sloping arms, presenting arms and all like that. And then you were taken onto the range, and a sergeant would sit, get down beside you, or a corporal, and show you how to take the gun, load it, put it into your shoulder, aim at the target, perfect aim, it'd be the tip of the foresight, aimed in the centre of the target, in line with the shoulders of the sight, and press the trigger very slowly, first press and then release it, and that was the 303. Now, the Bren gun, or the machine guns then, I didn't take them up until I came over to England, actually. They were scarce, they were very scarce over there in Ireland at the time. But
did you practice with hand grenades as well?
Dummy ones. The first hand grenade I ever threw was in Burma. Well, it wasn't in Burma, it was in India, where I was instructing some lads out there when I went out. But everything else you were basically taught on the range. Route march was full pack, route march and things like that. But everything was very good right through there.
What were the relationships like with the NCOs at that time?
Well, you respected them. You respect them, gave them the respect they were due. Them days, it's not like what it is now. Them days, you didn't answer back. You'd done as you were told. If you were told to get up, you get up. If you're told to stand to attention, you stood to attention. Not now. Those days are gone, I believe. But, no, I had good relationships with them all. Never got myself into any trouble. I think I was only on one charge all the time I was in the army. Never done any peeling potatoes, nothing like that. I was one of the good boys. I got promotion when I come over to England.
So when you were in Enniskillen, were you just at the depot? You weren't in a battalion?
Just at the depot, training depot. It was the Enniskillen Fusiliers. That's all it was known as, the training depot, the Oma Barracks. But they were very good there. As I say, They were calling people, a lot of people in then, for to get everything ready for taking over Europe again. And they were building the army up, and of course they were all, like myself, raw. Didn't know anything about armies or nothing else. Some of the lads over here had been in the munition factories and that, and they were going over there earning good money. And down to 10 shillings a week nearly broke their hearts. Oh, yes.
So when did you, when was it you went over to England?
I went over to England in June, I think it was. Was it June? Yes, June. And we went down to Dovercourt.
Did you join a battalion there at Dovercourt?
Yes. That was the 10th Cameronians. 10th Battalion Cameronians. We done all the coast there. Now, that's when they started mechanising them, bringing the Bren carriers and the motorbikes. So, Bren, I think there was 3 Bren carriers each battalion or company, and 3 motorbikes. So we started training then in Dovercourt, Thorrington Hall, a place called Thorrington Hall in Essex. And we'd done a long time there, a lot of training there, a lot of marching. And you were right in the heart of the country there. Nice little dance halls there at night time for the good dancing. But we'd done all the Bren carriers, motorbike training, and all like that for, what, a year? Year, 2 year?
Can you tell me a little bit about that training again, the motorbike training?
The training on the motorbikes was with some of the chaps that knew how to ride motorbikes. You'd take you on the motorbike around the field, and you train on that, how to start it, fill it up with petrol, stop it, and all like that. And the same with the Bren carriers. You either went one or the other, but I went onto the motorbikes. And we used to go out down into the Dovercourt, down into the harbour end there, and ride around there until we got the efficient on them. And we done a lot of work there. But you still had to do your army basic training as well. I think the idea was, this is where the Germans done all their big advancements with the motorbikes, things like that. I stayed on the motorbikes for about 2 year, 3 year.
And what was the intention to do if the Germans had invaded? What would you have done on the motorbikes?
Well, the motorbikes are PR. You get from one place to another quicker, and if you knew the roads and that, you could get messages far quicker. Take troops, or you carry a machine gun.
Was it a motorbike or a motorbike and sidecar?
A motorbike. No, I had a motorbike. It was a motorbike and sidecars as well, but I was on the motorbike itself. And as I say, you could carry a Bren gun or anything on your back.
And when you got to England, you said you trained with the Bren gun.
I trained with the Bren gun, yes. We went, I forget where it was, when there were Eiffel ranges down there, and we'd done it all down there. Of course, once again, scarcity of equipment. At that time, they were coming back from Dunkirk, and of course, they were coming back with no equipment at all. So everything, boots, shoes, everything was very scarce. If you had one pair of boots, you were lucky to get them repaired. And then some of the regular soldiers was quartermasters and all like that, and they knew all the tricks of the trade. So you know what happened there.
So what was the makeup of the battalion like? Where did most people come from?
Most of us, now we went over to be, about 100 of us went over to join the 10th Battalion Cameronians, and all civilians just shoved in. A lot of them was conscripted. There was a few from Northern Ireland that had been territorials. They would come over with us as well. But there was a lot of lads, just like myself, from Civvy Street, went straight into it. And we come over here then in case the Germans followed over and invaded. And that's what we were doing all down the coast.
Was there a lot of Scottish lads in it, being a Scottish regiment?
There were some Scottish, quite a number of Northern Ireland, but a lot of people were from down, all over Birmingham, down London way, the Midlands, The whole lot, it was a big mixture. I think they realised, I don't know whether it ever came out, but I think they realised at the time that you don't put a load of Irishmen all together, a load of Scotchmen. That way, the enemy would know what regiment you were, or you weren't. So they mixed everybody up, so you're going along, you're getting everybody. In fact, it was, I had three with me from the Channel Islands. Three of them from Channel Islands was with us.
So people came from all over with that. How did everybody get on together?
Oh, we got on great. We were in, down in Dovercourt, you were in private digs. Well, in houses, evacuated houses. The people was evacuated, so we went into their places, and there'd be one, two, three, about five in the bedroom on palliasses on the floor. But, oh no, everybody got on well. Well, you know, everybody thought it'd be over by Christmas, and that was it. We're all being happy for a while. But it was a good place down there as well, Dovercourt, all around that area. People were very friendly. We kept mostly to ourselves, really, with a lot of help from regulars. There was quite a few regulars there, formerly formed the battalion. I think we just formed the 10th battalion then, really, of the Cameronians.
Were you in isolation, really, as a battalion at that time?
Oh, no. You were in the public, you were in the ordinary street, mixing with the public. You could go out for walks at night time, or go out for walks. There was a little dance hall that we used to go to twice a week. I think it was Wednesdays and Saturdays. Church parades. But the hall was a big, Thorrington Hall, it's called, a big mansion house, big house. And we were in huts in the grounds itself.
Which platoon and company were you in at that time?
The 10th Battalion Cameronians. B Company, and there was Sergeant McGuinness, Ted York, Sergeant York, quite a number, they were regulars. Ted York wasn't. Ted York had been in TA, I think it was in the Territorials, but I think McGuinness was a Territorial, but he'd done regular service as well.
Did you have any particular pals?
There was two or three good lads we had. Lee was one. He came from Northern Ireland. And it's a funny thing, I've never met any of them since I come out of the forces. There's one or two came from Newcastle, when we went up to Newcastle. But there was quite a few Scotch, Southern, one or two Southern Ireland, as I say, in the Midlands, a lot of the Midlands. Lads that worked in factories and that come over. I was 20 when I joined up, so they were getting called up on their 21. So I was a bit of one of the young ones.
And you said you did other types of training there, like gas training.
Yes, when we went over there, we were taught the basics of respirators, gas masks, all like that, what to do. I never went to a gas filled chambers, there was none there. But we were told how to operate the gas mask, how to put it on, with gas instructions of different kinds, burnt gas, poisonous gas, and stuff like that.
Did you do any other training with mortars or heavier weapons?
No, I didn't do any of that. There was two or three lads picked for that on the mortars, and firing the grenades from the rifle as well, hand pitching them, being taught how and where, especially if it was rocky surfaces, you had to throw them further than you would normally, or you get the back lot of the rocks.
So at this period, you were on really coastal defence duties.
Yes.
Did you have any static positions on the coast that you had to guard?
You had this 3 mile of the coastline, and each we were sent out in sections. Now, actually speaking, I was right in the Dovercourt was a little bit in from the seaside. So what we used to do, we used to go out in the motorbikes and in the brown carriers and patrol up and down during the night. And of course you'd done your guard duty, officer's mess and stuff like that, to see everybody was in and out.
How did you take to the guard duties?
All right, well, you know, like everything else, you had to do them, and you didn't do them that regular, maybe once a fortnight you'd do them. But other times you'd be maybe out on patrol on the motorbike or in the brand carrier, or probably just walking up and down the front, making sure everything, that you were on call in case anything did happen.
So what would your daily routine be?
You'd be up at 6:30. Wash, shave, dressed, go for PT, come back, get dressed and go for your breakfast. Then after breakfast you'd probably do an hour or 2 hours drill or instructions, and it'd be lunchtime, and you might do a 3 or 4 mile march in the afternoon, and you finish about 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
Would you do guard duty sometimes in the evening and over the night period?
Oh, yes, yes. You'd go on guard maybe from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. You'd do 2 hours on and 4 hours off. You'd maybe go on 6 to 8, and then you wouldn't go back until 12 till 2 again. And that then as you come off in the morning, another lot took over at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they took over for the next 12 hours. And that's how the guard duties was done then. But it was big houses. The officer's mess was a big house, or headquarters, and that's where you'd guard. And then you'd have a CRS, which is for anybody taken ill, maybe 2 or 3 mile inland. And you might have to go there and visit there.
What were the relationships like with the officers in the battalion?
Very good. As I say, a lot of them were regulars, so at that time quite a number was regulars. Now later on you found out that they weren't, they were people brought in, bank managers and that, took commission. After they'd done their basic training, took commission. And sometimes they were worse than your regular officers. They want to show their authority a bit more. But otherwise, no, we got on very well with everybody. Of course, once again, when you're out in a place like that, you're not in proper billets, so everybody had to be a little give and take all the way around. Oh yes. And from there I went up to Newcastle.
When would that have been?
That was 1942.
So for those 2 years you'd literally stayed in Dovercourt
and all around that area. Yes.
Had you gone on any schemes?
Yes, there were some two or three of the companies would go out into the fields and that, and we'd do basic training out there regarding manoeuvres, taking positions up, fighting against one another in reality, that we were looking round to get the idea of how and where, crawling around on your tummy, hedgerows, stuff like that, taking cover to keep out of the skyline and all like that.
So by that stage you must have been thinking obviously that this period would be coming to an end. Did you have any idea where they might be sending you eventually?
No, there was never any hint of where you were going or what you were doing or anything, because we used to see a lot of dogfights down there, planes coming over during the daytime, a lot of aeroplane battles there over Dovercourt as you come in over London.
Because in 1940 it would have been the Battle of Britain while you were stationed there.
That's
so
right, yes.
Was there much evidence of bombing in the area?
Oh, a lot of bombing. You could see them coming in and hear them up around London. Heavy bombing all the way around Coventry. They got it very bad. Coventry all the way around. But you could see the fighters going up, and you could see them planes being shot down and things like that. Oh, yes.
So by 1942, how were you feeling about your position in the army? Were you ready to get into action?
I was a Lance Corporal then, yes. I'd been promoted to Lance Corporal, and I went up to Newcastle from there. and we took over. We actually stopped at Durham for 5 days because the barracks weren't empty at Newcastle. And when we got up there, eventually up to Newcastle, and I was stationed up at Mumpseaton, West Mumpseaton, outside of Whitley Bay. Now, some of the lads went into the barracks, but most of us were stationed up at Whitley Bay, West Mumpseaton, Tynemouth, all around that area, in private billets again.